This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Tinderbox gives people the opportunity to come together, dance, and have fun in a space separate from the bar scene. And these pop-up parties used to take place at DIY venues across town, but now they happen at legal and safe, but still interesting spots that change each time. And joining us to discuss how Tinderbox originated, its unique business model, and its annual Halloween party that happens tonight is the founder of Tinderbox, who goes by the pseudonym Oliver James Peabody, his assistant, Natalie Palmer, and partygoer Austin Radcliffe, who is the blogger of Things Organized Neatly. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Oliver, Natalie, and Austin, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Oliver, I have to know, why the pseudonym?
So, you know, we find that in the promotion game, people tend to, it's a guy. Promotion can be a guy's, right? It can be this idea of, hey, I want to promote this as me for my purposes. This is my event. And, that's not really conceptually what Tinderbox stands for. It's not about any one person. It's about providing something to the broader community, something truly of value, independent of any individual person. I kind of take it upon myself to make sure that it stays true to that. And as a part of that, I try to distance myself and have been doing, as it grows, distance myself more from the brand proper.
So it's about we.
That's right.
Not about me, right?
We the people, right?
We are okay. All Oliver James Peabody.
We are all Oliver. Dr. Oliver.
By the way, you look nothing like your picture that I got in your bio,
oh,
by
yes,
the way.
A little bit different.
Changed by the day. Now, I've heard Tinderbox described as a flexible venue and curated. What does that mean?
Yeah, so with the first question, flexible venue, we started in a very unique warehouse space with a very...
Hence the name Tinderbox,
okay. Which can refer to an old warehouse that is constantly at risk of burning down. So, and indeed, we were in a space like that, and it was not strictly legal when we started, but it was also not started to be what it is today. It was just kind of started as, hey, I have this access to this space. Let's do something. And it very quickly grew into this notion of this is a space that people can use for their own events. So we would have people come to us, me and some friends, a roommate at the time, people would come to us and they would ask for use of this venue for, this event or that event, this concert or this kind of after party for, a regional bike polo competition or something like that. So that's kind of where that flexible use comes in is, when there is a venue and it's consistent, we like to bring people in and allow them to use this for their own purposes. The second question is...
Curated. Yeah.
Curated, yes. So I think that's really... We kind of aesthetically stand behind what this brand stands for. And so when we allow people to come in and bring their own events, it's not so much a Tinderbox event. But when we have a Tinderbox event, it's about Tinderbox. It's about providing Tinderbox as the notion...
An experience.
To the people, right. The Tinderbox experience becomes an aesthetic experience, right? And we stand behind that brand of partying and providing that aesthetic party experience to people. So we curate the events in that manner that we can consistently provide something that is of a reliable and strong brand value to people.
Natalie, how did you become involved with Tinderbox? That's... Pretty interesting story.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I had been going to a lot of the shows and things that happened in the original space, and I knew about it, and I had met Stuart, and it was a...
Oliver.
Oh, man.
That's okay.
It was an Instagram post. I think it was, like, written in Sharpie or something with, like, a bunch of dollar signs. It was just, like, odd jobs, party intern... Like, have fun, something like that. And I just sent him an email.
Did it have a job description of some type?
No.
Did you have to have any qualifications for this? No? Okay.
No. I think it was just do odd jobs, do weird things, party. And I was like, cool, I can do that.
Party intern?
Mm-hmm. I am a party intern. It's on my resume.
Yeah.
It's on my LinkedIn.
So as the assistant party intern, what kind of things do you do?
I do just about anything.
Everything?
Anything.
Like it said, odd jobs.
Whatever Oliver doesn't have time to do or whatever I can pick up to take stress off of him, make it easier, get it done, add whatever I can add to the experience of every party.
Do you scout locations?
Yeah.
For the party? How do you go about doing that?
it's a lot of asking around, just asking people you know, going to certain places, and any cool event that you go to, you kind of ask, like, hey, how did you get this spot? Like, what is it? What's the process of getting here? Do you know of anything? What cool stuff have you been to lately? Just sort of finding who you know who has some weird place to go.
And then once you've found the spot, I guess it's a matter of you got to get the word out about this is the place where it's going to happen. And...
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't so much of the promotion wasn't so much about the spot,
mm-hmm.
because I think keeping it kind of under wraps where and what the spot is gives it more like a creepy vibe, which
right.
is kind of what we're going for.
It's kind of the pop-up idea, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what's going to happen, it's truly pop-up. If mm-hmm. you know it's coming, it's not pop-up anymore,
right, because it's not where it is, where the Halloween party is. It's not somewhere anyone goes
so
regularly.
Okay. There are a few artist studios over there and things like that, but it's in the West End. Tonight's party, Halloween Tinderbox 2015 edition.
That's right. Okay. There actually used to be a DIY space not two blocks from where we are tonight. And I think that's actually really interesting because you'll see in the Cincinnati scene, there are this variety of DIY spaces that have kind of built a brand and then died away, usually due to some sort of legal or administrative issues.
Yeah, when we say do it yourself, DIY,
sure.
what exactly do we mean by that?
So,
I mean, that was the old way of doing
this,
right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, I think this idea really holds its strongest roots in the punk community, and I kind of like to give a shout out to that community still because I know that there are a huge number of people in that community still who continue to keep this kind of torch burning, you know. So some friends of mine run a house in I believe it's in Northside. I think it's called Last House on the Left.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, you know, it's just their house and they have a basement and they throw these punk shows there. And they'll do like whole weekend music festivals. And there's another guy I know who does shows. He just secured a building on Central Parkway and he does punk shows in there as well. But it's this idea that, you know, we can build this and we can allow this to exist and to continue to exist and to help this community stay alive. And I think what I noticed when I started doing this is I started kind of on that punk end of the scene where we said just let's provide events and provide venue for people. But what I started to notice is that, hey, historically speaking, most of these DIY venues kind of stop being. And they stop being because it always requires someone to run them. But there's also a variety of, you know, legal issues with that. The problem is securing good space. And, you know, most bars honestly don't even purely conform to fire code on a night when they're very busy, but they're at least safe enough that, you know, that's a sustainable way of operating. But that's kind of one of the major challenges that I've noticed in this scene, right? So Bunk Spot is the space I refer to that used to exist not two blocks north of where we'll be tonight. And that shut down, because that building was not legal for that kind of occupancy. It was not really legal for any occupancy at that time. And that kind of, that brand still lingers in the internet, but it's not very alive these days.
But you're answering this. You're resolving the whole issue of
being
legal and safe.
I'm seeking to resolve this by finding some infrastructure that can keep the spaces, you know, keep them safe so that the entity doesn't have to suffer from that. I think, secondly, you find that it takes a lot of personal effort to get these things done. And I think you get these people who will put these music festivals together or these shows together for a year or 2 years or maybe even 3 years because they like it and they want to provide that to their community. But people burn out, you know? People get tired of that. And when you're working on this DIY mentality, you know, if you get tired of that, it can really end something that something great can come to an end pretty abruptly because you have your own life realities, right? People have to work. People want to be happy. And sometimes being happy is not, you know, killing yourself to get these events done for other people.
So I'm the old guy in the room. I guess I'd be the parent here. So as a parent, I can say if my kid goes to one of these Tinderbox parties, I don't have to worry about this. Okay.
So that's one good thing that Tinderbox and Oliver James Peabody have done from the DIY model is taken it from a warehouse that's literally crumbling.
to could catch fire around you as you're having your party or something
more
like
legit
that.
Venues. And they bounce around town because he doesn't you were living in that warehouse, right?
Sure enough.
And the building was purchased by someone else. It's now being renovated. And Oliver had to move out. So it's become a roaming party, and each time it's more and more above board, I would say. And there's going to be a security tonight. There's going to be, you've got insurance on the party and renting the space outright from the owners.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think something that goes along with the culture of Tinderbox is we're very concerned with people's safety. So we really want to create a fun atmosphere where people, we're sure that people will be safe.
Come and have a good time and yeah, stay safe.
Okay, that makes the dad here feel better.
Yeah.
So.
I think, you know, safety is one of these factors of like sustainability of this entity, right? Like we can't just keep doing this if we're putting people at risk or someone's space at risk. And, you know, you learn these things as you go along. But, you know, to be honest with you, the party scene or the scene, as it were, is dangerous, right? It's a dangerous world out there. And there are various bad things that can happen to you just going out to a bar. You know, you can meet the wrong people or, yes. You know, even just walking from your car to somewhere. It's not always safe. And you do take risks. And what we try to do is to actively take a stand against those risks so that people feel respected and cared for in a way that that, you know, people don't necessarily feel when they go out to other types of venues.
We will continue our conversation about Tinderbox, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to discuss the pop-up party series Tinderbox is its founder, who goes by the pseudonym Oliver James Peabody, his assistant Natalie Palmer, and partygoer Austin Radcliffe. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. Austin, how did you find out about Tinderbox and get involved in this?
Well, in addition to being a partygoer, I'm a DJ.
You're a DJ. So that's right.
I'm spinning tonight, yeah. And I moved to Cincinnati about a year ago and DJed. This actually, I realized, Oliver, is kind of our anniversary.
Oh.
Because
I didn't get you a present. I'm sorry.
You're throwing me a party. That's great.
Okay. All right.
throwing us all a party. That was the first party I DJed last Halloween. I think it was the 30th, the night before Halloween, just as the Tinderbox party tonight. And I'm playing again here a year later. So I've done a few others, too. Whenever I can, I love to DJ the Tinderbox parties. They're always a lot of fun, and tonight will be an exceptional edition.
Yeah, I think it'll be a blowout.
Yeah.
What kind of you can all chime in on this one? What kind of reactions do you get to these parties? I mean, how many people typically show up? How do they react to the whole thing?
A few hundred, usually, right?
Yeah I'd say
the hundreds.
It depends on how lively we've been, but we've been pretty active this past year. And you know, we've had several events that breach 500-600 people, and that's not on an event day. That's like the middle of April. So,
wow.
So for Halloween, I'm thinking, you know, we'll say at least 500, but we'll see.
And people get into it. There's a lot of costumes. People are ready for it. Everybody, if you go to a Tinderbox show party, you usually go to all of them.
It sounds like it's a show, though. I mean, more than just
it's
a party.
It's a show. I mean,
it's
there's
an event.
So many.
It sounds like it's a cult.
The DJs are
not
so good.
He's honest.
It does a little bit.
No.
But people wait for them. People wait for them, and there's a steady turnout for all of them.
Wow.
It's a big event.
You know, it's interesting handling the kind of communications between the public. I'll get direct inquiries from people like, what is this? Why is this? And why does it cost money? And, like, there's other parties, right? Why would I go to, you know,
what is this? What?
Yeah, just that kind of muttering and stuff from people, you know?
And
but these people will go or they'll not go. And if they go, you usually find that these people have such a great time that they just come back and they are kind of converted. That's why I say it sounds like a cult, because people will talk about it like that. Like, you going to that Tinderbox party? Yeah. And then if you don't go, and this is part of the success of the model, is you hear about it from everyone the next week and you're like, oh man, why didn't I go to that party?
They're great. And Stuart puts in a lot of work and his own money and time. He has a real job, and he's like hired a security staff for tonight, hiring DJs and people. We've got tonight's warehouse is all decked out and creepy. It's going to be rad.
It's real creepy.
Yeah.
So, and Natalie, you say there are people wear costumes. I guess on Halloween that makes sense, but mm-hmm. people wear costumes. So these are typically themed events. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So what have been some of the other themes that you've used?
The last one that we did Alice in Wonderland. That was really cool.
That
so
does
it was
sound
a
cool.
lot of a lot of like rabbit hole artist kind of take on it. There's a lot of wild stuff for that.
Okay. Top hats.
Yeah, and I have to give a shout out to all the people who have supported this entity over all of its previous iterations, because it really started as completely DIY. It was just me doing it, but it's very quickly morphed into a bunch of people giving their time and efforts, and, you know, there really often isn't much of a budget behind this stuff. It's hard to make the money that would be necessary to really pay someone to put all the effort in. So just a shout out to everyone who's contributed, because those decorations at that Wonderland event were awesome, and they were based off of donated time, and they were incredible, and they made the
cool
event.
Friends.
You know,
and Oliver, if I gather right, you look at this as being like a social business, right, as opposed to just a typical for-profit business. You've got there's some social aspects to this.
Yeah, that's right. I kind of hold philosophically that that I don't want to be involved in starting or running a business that doesn't seek to do more than be profitable. You know, I understand that consideration of business must be profitable to continue to exist, but I believe very strongly there should be kind of a second pillar of business, which is this idea that it can be socially profitable and find problems that are caused either by the business or adjacently to that business and start to like try to solve these problems in its way of operating. So I kind of bring that to the table here, right? Is, you know, I would feel not so great just throwing parties, just for the sake of partying, right? But what I can really stand behind is throwing parties that continually seek to make people feel safer and more respected and cared for, especially relative to what is out there in society. And I think ultimately, I believe that if you can start a business like that, you actually start to put, I think people love that. Is that, you guys agree? Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So
it's
I think
it's a service as well as.
Yeah.
A business.
And if you can bring that to the market, as it were, I mean, why not get people competing on that kind of a social level as well to say, you know, well, this bar doesn't hire security. Doesn't mean they don't care, but, you know, it means they're not taking that kind of pain to make sure that you're very safe. Can we incentivize that? You know, can we challenge some of these people and say, look, sorry that your turnout was so bad on Halloween, but our party was cooler and safer.
Ticketbox raises the bar.
We have time to get one phone call in here, and let's talk with Levi and Over the Rhine. Levi, we got about 30 seconds here, so go ahead. What's your question?
Yes, this is Levi Carmichael, the arch nemesis of Oliver James Peabody.
Oh, no.
And I challenge you, Oliver James Peabody, to a game of Spooky Twister, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Levi.
Yes.
Oh, what a challenge. I wonder what qualifies Twister as Spooky Twister.
I don't know. You know, at my age, Twister is spooky. You just can't do it anymore. But if you've got an answer to that, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah, sure. You're on.
Okay.
He's but on. I'm very flexible, just so you know.
Where?
Yep. We're still, you've got something else you want to add in there, Austin?
I was just going to make sure we threw in one more time where the party is tonight.
Do that.
Or how to find it.
Do that.
Right.
Yes. Well, we'll be at 1706 John Street tonight.
Okay.
And that's in the West End, a couple blocks west of Central Parkway. We have an official pre-party, which is a friend of mine, several friends of mine, won a People's Liberty grant to build an art installation. So they will be exhibiting that tonight, I believe, from about 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock. At the Globe building, which is right next to Findlay Market, the west side of Findlay Market. And it's only three blocks away, so check out both events.
Well, Oliver, Natalie, and Austin, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
The founder of Tinderbox, who goes by the pseudonym Oliver James Peabody, but we now know him as Stuart. Sorry. His assistant, Natalie Palmer, and partygoer, Austin Radcliffe, blogger of Things Organized Neatly.
And DJ.
Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. Today's show was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Kevin Rowinski was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday, next on 91.7. My Cincinnati is a free youth orchestra program based in Price Hill. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll hear about a documentary that shows behind-the-scenes footage of the program's ambassador ensemble. We'll also hear about ways to protect your business online reputation. And in Focus on Technology, how the Dayton VA is using medical mannequins at its new simulation center. That's Cincinnati Edition, Monday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.